At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go. All right. We are back with another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy. Always, I'm joined with my brother and my co-host, Jake Bushnell.
Aloha.
Today is a very special episode, as you can tell, because we have my good friend, Mr. Yasad Williams.
Yeah, boys.
All right. How you doing, brother?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
No problem.
Brothers and brothers.
Oh, yes.
Thanks for having me on.
Our last guest didn't know we were real brothers, by the way. So the thing he left, he said, I didn't know you guys were really brothers. I thought you were just saying, like, brothers.
Yeah. I would have been like, yeah, thanks, brothers. But I'm like, thanks, brothers and brothers.
And brothers.
Because you know.
Whoa.
Because we know.
Don't spill your coconut drink. Yeah. Since Yasad is from the island of Hawaii, we decided to decorate today so that he would feel at home. And I feel like this is like, if you're, you know, a true Hawaiian, that this makes you feel at home. These are all actual, like, very, very true Hawaiian trinkets, right?
It's funny how in no way does this look like a strip building in Orange County. I feel like I'm in Hawaii. It's amazing.
Nice. So yeah. It worked. It worked.
Absolutely. And the shirt, you guys got me a shirt, it matches my outfit I'm wearing today and everything. The yellow is priceless. So
for those who are listeners, it's what would you call that? Electric lime green, potentially, with a bunch of parrots or no. What bird is that?
That is definitely a toucan.
Toucan.
Right? With the big bill.
Yep. I think you're right.
Toucan Sam, that's why.
That's the official bird of Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Of this Hawaii. Absolutely.
Nice.
This 10th island?
Yeah.
All right. Well, shoots, brada. Okay. you know what? If you don't know who Yasad Williams is, not only is a good friend of ours that we've known for a long time and been playing music with this guy. I mean, I think we were just talking about it. It goes all the way back to 1999, but he's the drummer for an amazing band called Pepper.
Thank you.
And if
Thank
you haven't
you very
heard
much.
Of Pepper is, crawl out of that rock you've been sleeping under and check them out.
Yeah. Not just a condiment. For the last 22 years. But no, I can't believe, like you were saying, 1999, which the band was just 2 years old. We had just moved from Hawaii. So because May of 99, we moved from Hawaii.
I remember that. So earlier before the show started, Yasad and I, we were talking about how long ago does this relationship go back? And we were thinking he remembers Duddy in like 2002 and doing something with the Dirty Heads.
Yeah.
And there was a show where Surround Sound, we opened up for Ika Mouse at a local venue, and it was 1999. The Galaxy Theater that's now called the Observatory. I'm waiting on a picture that I hope comes through where our whole band was wearing like Lakers jerseys. We look ridiculous, but the Dirty Heads were on stage with us. And that was the first time I remember hearing about Pepper. And all we heard was band coming in from Hawaii. They just moved here. They're like... back. I think you guys were already working with Volcom maybe, right?
Yeah, because we'd hooked up with them through... the artist that has done all the artwork on our CDs, which we just brought back for this latest one, which we'll talk about later. But Ben Bruff was a professional surfer for Volcom. We grew up together. He actually rode for Caton for a while back in the day. But he had all the connections, and Ryan Immigart and all the boys from Volcom were just starting, which was what was Stone Entertainment back then, to launch The Line, which was Ryan Immigart's band. So we, as this like ska / reggae / we had a little bit of punk rock back in those days, had a little bit of youth left in us back then, you know. But we were able to sneak in there as the redheaded stepchild, and that's how we kind of first were able to connect right when we moved over here. We were able to go into their offices. They were kind of like, yeah, you guys can hang out. Like, we're not necessarily going to tell people about you, but you can use our printers and like make flyers and stuff
and
like that.
And here's a t-shirt.
Yeah. So we were like, it was seconds. It wasn't the shit they would actually be able to sell. It was seconds. And we'd usually, three of us would fight over one t-shirt and whatnot.
Oh,
but it's crazy that That was that long ago. I cannot believe
that. That's like 24 years ago.
Just
97.
1999.
I thought you said 97. Oh, 99 is
yeah, yeah.
You're right. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All
totally.
Right, you know what? We're not known for math here, okay?
20 something, yeah.
It's there. It's a number. You
know, 2024. Either way, that's a long time.
Yeah. A long time.
That's a long time.
So before you came over here, you know, to play music, had you ever been to the States?
Yes.
The mainland, I meant to say.
Absolutely. And so just a little like quick history, which I hope this doesn't sound boring, but in 97, right after, that was me and Brett graduated high school, Konawina Wildcats. All right. and Kaleo graduated the year before. He's a grade older than us. That's in June when we decided to get together and start the band. And then a few months after that, I just, as my first trip, like, Mom, I'm going to go to the mainland with some friends. I just graduated high school, like right on. I went to Mission Beach and stayed with some friends that had moved from Hawaii to Mission Beach.
Nice.
On the boardwalk. Randomly saw Buck 09 play, like this outdoor show in the boardwalk, and had some like inkling of like, damn, that'd be rad to like have the band over here kind of thing. Went back to Kona after that, like amazing, like, if you would have been filming a movie, it would have been like my coming of age trip. You know what I mean? Like those sick 80s movies. Went back, and I think I just randomly told the boys, hey, it'd be sick to move over there someday, I think. Like, and it was all stemming from this memory I had of Buck 09 playing. And I don't, it's so amazing that it was Buck 09, but.
Dude, and Buck 09, look them up. They're like a ska punk band.
Yeah.
I think from the 90s, like when I was in high school, when we were young, that was like a cool ska punk band from
totally.
This Southern California area.
Yeah. It was like, for lack of a better term, Sublime and No Doubt and Goldfinger all had videos on MTV. They were the ones that maybe had their videos shown once on late night MTV.
Yes,
kind of.
Yeah. They got a little bit of love on K-Rock. Like you'd hear them on there, but it wasn't.
Like they were on that verge of almost breaking out, but never quite did.
Right.
And I remember too, I'd always be like, Buck 09, what the fuck? And then I realized that was the price of a 40. If you, it was an old English 40 was a dollar plus tax. So Buck 09.
That's where they got their name.
Boom.
I never knew that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I just remember someone telling me that too and going like, what? I've known of that band for however many years. Never knew that.
Right, right. I just figured out recently that Alt-J band is, you know, if you hit Alt-J on a computer, what does it do?
I don't know, but it's like Alt.
Yeah, you hit Alt-J and it makes this symbol that's a symbol for it. Their name is so deep and like quadruple layered, like you're like, whoa, guys.
Kind of like their
intense.
Music. Their songs are like math equations.
I recently we were on the bus just this last first leg of this last tour with Iration, and we're just flipping through some YouTube videos, and theirs came on, and it looks like the craziest iPad screen. Like the production is insane. That I really didn't hear what was going on because I was so like, whoa, it was insane.
No,
but
it's a trippy band. Have you seen them live before?
No.
You get that same vibe live. Like,
they're
it's a very
huge.
People love it.
Yeah, they're like, I think they like sold out like the Hollywood Bowl their last time in LA.
It's really
something.
Cool. I mean, the guy's got just a really interesting voice, and like, he said, they're just very like deep, trippy kind of band. And if you're into just like vibing out, like it's a good show.
Yeah, totally. And they're English, right?
I'm not sure.
I think that's what I heard, but
we'll say yeah.
And it
sounds like it.
The drummer has congas in place of like some toms that he plays with his. I did notice that he plays
sticks.
With his sticks. Yeah, just like normal rolls and whatnot. So yeah, I appreciate.
Yeah, there's
that.
No rules in that band. I like they're just making shit up. I saw him play with you know how gypsies would have the finger clackers.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I saw like a performance on TV where he was clacking with those. I'm like, oh.
Oh yeah. I've seen that.
Well, there's not really a lot of rules in music these
days. There are no rules. Do whatever
with the internet and social media and. I think that's just because people are more able to make music. So in turn, a bunch more crazy shit happens.
Well, if we're able to hear it, like, you know, not even too long ago. I mean, if you wanted to record an album that people were actually able to listen to and share it with people, it would cost you so much money.
Totally.
You had to go to an actual studio. You had to have either someone believe in you and pay for it, or you had to get your mom and dad to kick you down. Whatever. You had to go through a lot of work and a lot of money to make a song. Then to get people to listen to it,
totally.
They had to get the physical copy and put it into their player. Like now you can make a demo at your house, put it on your social media. 30 seconds later, people are listening to it.
Literally.
If you buy an iPad or a new iPhone, You get GarageBand with it. That is better than anything we ever had to record with when we were in high school or any of that.
There are songs on the Dirty Heads albums that, yes, they eventually went from my iPad, then into, you know, Logic or Pro Tools, and then blah, blah, blah. But the bass of the song, the music bass, I made on my iPad with GarageBand. I mean, you can do it.
The good analogy for that, too, is drones. Because to get the kind of video and shit from a drone back in the day, not even quality of video, just the angles, you had to rent a helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
And then buy helicopter fuel. And then find someone to fly the helicopter.
Yeah.
Get insurance on the pilot.
Yeah.
Ensure the cameras that you're hanging from the bottom of it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You had to have a huge budget to get any type of aerial. There used to be a thing that people would say, just get stock footage. You'd always hear that. Hey, we need stock footage of over a neighborhood for this show.
The first 2 minutes of, you know, cars driving down the street
stock
and you're just like,
footage. Now it's just that. Doesn't your nephew have a drone? Fly it up there, dude. We're making world-class motion
Looks
pictures.
Great.
Yeah. Totally. It's insane, man. The whole thing, technology is so funny with like algorithms and everything, because we're like a victim of them in some ways, because our band name is so common. The word pepper.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? I think the one time it hit me the first time really where I was like, ah, damn it. Eh, well, I didn't think of this in 97. was when the iPhone came out with the you know, when you text message someone, like, for instance, if I text message Dirty Heads to you, it recognizes those two words together and put a link to your band in iMessage.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Even, like, Sublime won't get it because Sublime's too common
just
of
a word.
Yeah. So it's a trick. That's what I was like, God, that's so – but not in, like, a, like, oh, that sucks way. More just in a mind-blown way of, like, wow.
How do we compete with –
In 97?
In 97, there's no way no one could have ever – Yeah. Like, thought about, you know what I mean?
You're competing with one of the world's top two spices.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough.
And hindsight is so 2020 with technology. It is just insane. You know what I mean? Because then you got things like Bitcoin and like all this kind of shit where you're just like,
dude,
hindsight's way insane.
Kiss would have been fucked if they came out 30 years later. You know, they would have had to Gene Simmons would have had to rethink his whole life.
Totally.
Is he still coming on the show?
I think he's on next week.
Oh, epic. What up, Gene? Hey, but this is another thing that I'm going to ask you guys is how gnarly and does Tool have to be that they've kept such a mystique in the music industry, in this world, to this day?
I think, honestly, that's why they're so fucking
For
cool.
sure. And they're straight up, to, in my opinion, the Led Zeppelin of our time.
Yeah.
Like and in this day, to pull off something like that in this day of technology and everyone knows everything about everyone. And I mean, part of the reason is because they haven't released any music on anything digitally or anything. So.
And they don't care. People always say that. They go, like, you know, well, there'll be another Beatles. I'm like, there can't be. Because, you know, back then the Beatles were aliens that came from another country, which was over in England. They had different weird haircuts. You only got to see them on The Tonight Show and all the girls are crying. You can barely hear them.
Oh, yeah.
Nowadays, if you see a band or if you hear one song, you Google it. You've got their thing. You know everything about them, all their family members. You're following them. You've seen 65 interviews. By the end of that day, you're almost bored.
There's no demand. There's no demand built. It's like back what you were just talking about with the Beatles was just the demand was just skyrocketing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like
all that stuff you talked about afterwards, just it's like, everyone's fulfilled and on to the next thing and everything.
It touches back onto what we were just talking a second ago where it's like, oh shit, was that my phone? God damn
it. Oh, son of a.
It's so easy to put out music now. There's so much music out there. And back then, there really wasn't that many, you know, albums coming out a year compared to now. So it was like, you know, you really dove in deep to the albums you had.
Totally.
You might only get 10 new albums a year that you liked that you had. So now you have 10 albums to listen to. You listen to 10 albums in a week now, like easily.
Oh,
like,
totally.
It's different. It's definitely a different time.
Do you guys find yourself pulling up Spotify or Apple Music or whatever and not thinking of anything to listen to ever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which blows my mind, too. I'm like, how am I not thinking of anything? Yeah. There's every, and I start everything. Listening to the same shit over and over, and I'm like, this reminds me of the TV when you're like, fuck, how is there nothing to watch?
I'll still do it even now with Netflix. Like, Yeah. Like prison on the road, like you're on tour and like you get off the show or you get done with the show and you're getting a little tired. You're trying to wind down. She's like, cool, I'll like go lay in my bunk and like I'll look for something on Netflix. I'll just scroll for like an hour and then just go to bed and not watch anything.
Really?
That's what it is now. My wife always makes fun of me. She's like, are you going to scroll through Netflix and go to sleep? I never choose anything.
I just scroll.
I'm just going, seen it, tried it, almost watched it, don't want to see it. Nicolas Cage did another one. Yeah. Fucking Bruce Willis. All right, boom. And then I'm asleep.
I've been adding to Bezos's monopoly of the world, and Amazon Prime Video has just been crushing it lately.
I'm on Amazon Prime now too.
Because they've got all the classic albums shows on like, you know, all the Black Sabbath Paranoid album, the In the Air of the Night album.
I haven't
Phil
even
Collins.
Looked at the music
side.
Yeah,
I was thinking the videos.
Oh, no,
like
it's
the music.
Like, no, yeah. And they're like the equivalent of Behind the Music episodes from VH1, but they're called, the series is called Classic Albums.
Oh, okay. Cool.
They do one on Back to Black. They do one on everything you could pretty much
think
of. Oh,
that's rad. I'm going to have to check that out.
Def Leppard, Hysteria, you know. All the bangers.
That's awesome.
The bangers. Dude, you just gave everybody listening so much shit to watch.
Yeah.
Because it's just like music. You just run out of ideas. Now that's a whole wormhole to go down there.
And that's there's like 25 episodes of 25, like where the, what's the Elton John, where the brick road ends, or the one with all the.
Whatever his best one is.
Yeah.
You don't even have to like the band either. Those, like Behind the Music, I'd watch it on whoever. Every episode was always great, even if I didn't know the band. I'd be like,
yeah, one word, Meatloaf. That episode's great on Bad Out of Hell 2.
Dude's got one song.
It's amazing.
Oh, no, that was Crash Test Dummies.
Meatloaf is 2 out of 3, ain't bad.
That's Crash Test Dummies. Yeah.
What a song that was.
Dude, once there was this girl. Yeah, the face.
And then, he's also had I Would Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That.
That was Meatloaf.
That's Meatloaf.
That's Meatloaf. Yeah, yeah.
That's Meatloaf. That's his bang. That's the only song
there's 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad. That's a different song, right?
Oh, no, that's Crash Test is...
2 out of 3 Ain't Bad?
No. Oh, you're talking... Oh, yes.
The song you're talking about is literally named... It's like 5 M's.
And that's Crash Test Dummies.
And I've got a funny thing about that exact band. So same exact time. This is mid-80s. There's a band called Crash Test Dummies. Lowest voice ever. The dude... sings like this. It's fake. It's as low as humanly possible. Same time on the radio.
She drive me crazy.
Oh, yeah. Fine Young.
Highest possible voice.
The finest and youngest of cannibals.
Yes. Absolutely. The Fine Young Cannibals and the Crash Test Dummies existed on this earth at the same time. Farthest spectrum of low to high vocals in human history. Look it up, millennials.
That's amazing. And what a Crash Test Dummies. That's a pretty trippy name. I always have this question of it's kind of a question that you can ponder for the rest of your life. And would the name of the band be cool even if the band wasn't cool? Like Metallica, I think even if they would have never gotten out of the garage, that still would be a sick name.
It's just a good name.
You'd be like, fuck, that's a rad name.
Yeah.
The Beatles? I don't think so. If they never got out of the garage, would you be like, The Beatles? That's a cool name, dude.
Well, can we touch on this for a second? The Dirty Heads?
I don't even want to start on our name, but anyway.
Let's be honest.
I don't know. I like your guys' name.
Like your name.
Honest opinion. Okay, well, sick. At least we're doing something right,
dude,
right?
Dude, oh my God. Your
dude,
name
when
so...
you step back, I've never done that. I've never stepped back from the Dirty Heads and was like.
Yeah, you just look at a band's name by itself without the music attached. Yeah. And like, I always think of the Beatles because it's hard to detach from the Beatles because. Yeah. They've written the greatest music, arguably, that's ever been written. So pop music, at least, for sure. So it's hard to detach yourself from that, but I don't know.
You know why they named themselves the Beatles? And this is probably a lot of where this they were in Europe. They wanted to sound like all the rad American bands that they like. And the Monkees, the Animals, the Bing.
So oh, there's somebody. Somebody's
they
knocking
named
on the
themselves
door?
Like the Beatles.
Someone's knocking on the door.
What? Well, who is this? Come on in.
Oh, dude, we thought you might be hungry, Asad.
Oh, what's this?
What is it?
Oh, we have pizza?
Look at that
Come on in, sir.
Why don't you open that up and let's show him what type of pizza we got him.
Oh, no.
You could probably guess. You can probably guess.
Does it have pineapple on it?
Oh, it does. You can just set it right.
I'll take it.
We got him some Hawaiian pizza from a local Hawaiian restaurant, Domino's.
Domino's. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, sir. I think he cooked that himself, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He cooked himself?
Yeah, I think he cooked that himself.
I think he literally just surfed all the way here from Hawaii with that pizza. Yeah.
he paddled his canoe over from Hawaii with that pizza, and it baked in the sun on the way over here, you know, and then got salted by the sea salt fresh on top of that Canadian bacon ham.
So if you ever get Hawaiian pizza, just know there's literally a restaurant in the middle of the ocean where true Hawaiians, they surf all the way to your house with the pizza, and it cooks on the way there.
Let's have another, sorry to keep going off subject, but have you noticed how the shaka has become the new reggae colors?
Oh my God, totally.
Thank you.
It's like taking over the peace sign.
Yes. Thank you. And it, I'm not going to lie, kind of bugs
me. Dude, you look out in the crowd and everyone's just,
Yeah. Like, because when I was growing up, going to high school and stuff, you know, we'd always kind of like, I don't know, for lack of a better term, like make fun of people that their shakas were kind of like, oh, how tight's that guy's shaka? Like what's going on? Or, you know what I mean? They just,
smallest.
And now, but that's what you were off the mic for a second. I was like, how shaka has become the new reggae colors. Like when No Doubt and Gwen Stefani blew up real big and she was wearing the reggae colors, that became so mainstream culture. And now we got the shaka.
The shaka. It was a mohawk. In the 80s for punk rock, huh? Then it was reggae colors, thanks, No Doubt.
Yep.
And now it's the shaka. Dude, we stole it.
Can we say thanks, Pepper, for that?
I hope not.
Can we say shoes? Can we say shoes? And you know what? In the MMA community, too, every fighter, no matter where they're from, when they pose, somehow, it's just natural. Yeah, the gloves, totally. Maybe it's like.
That's maybe a BJ Penn fucking weep.
Well, BJ can do it.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Same high school or no?
You got, no, other side of the island. Other BJ's side? From Hilo. He's a little bit older than us, too. Yeah, yeah. But you guys know the story about the shaka, right? It was from the back in the day on the east coast or the east side of Oahu in like Kailua, I believe. Fisherman got his fucking three middle fingers bit off by a shark. So he's trying to wave like about 100 years ago or whenever it was. Yeah, so he's waving, and that's why. So that's why I always, I think a true shaka personally is the palm out.
Palm out.
Yeah. Because that was not mostly the folklore of Hawaii of where it came from.
So you guys don't like this thing.
When you're doing that
one. Hey, actually, but disclaimer, as long as it's making people happy, I'm all about whatever's making people happy.
That's true.
This is just me.
You know what, man?
I'm just riffing, man. I'm just riffing.
You know what? That's it. Making fun of each other it's what makes us laugh. Yeah. And so, dude,
We
got to make fun of each other for everything that we do.
Can't take yourself too seriously.
To steal your guys' thing and to say, I'm sorry, I got you a chocolate covered macadamia nut.
Nice.
Just treats, dude.
I hope you enjoy that.
To everyone out there in podcast land, you cannot feel better than you do on feeling good with Duddy.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. So, I mean, Hawaiian host. You're the best Hawaiian host ever.
Dude, just nothing but mahalo vibes.
Dude, you know what?
On this show.
I've been to Hawaii, you know, a handful of times, so I'd like to think that I'm Ohana.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And on that note, you know, every show, we want to touch on a little something that makes us feel good.
Yeah.
So, you know what makes me feel good? Ohana. What's Ohana mean again, Yasad?
Ohana, technically, it means family, but that's going to go beyond blood. When we talk about Ohana in Hawaii, you know what I mean? Your Ohana is your circle of influence. Everyone that you basically choose to surround yourself with, you know what I mean? And your brothers aren't just your blood brothers. They're the people you grew up with, the people that you're for through thick and thin, that they're there for you through thick and thin. You know what I mean? It's just the spiritual circumference, I guess.
I think, you know, when you say the word family, you know, most people think of their immediate family. And that's cool because they fall into this as well. But, you know, family, it really means, you know, at least to us, I think that we're on the same page a lot more than that. Like he said, just the people you surround yourself with, people that you grow with, the people that you make, you know, people that you're going to be around your entire life. I mean, I know there's people that I've hung out with in the last 20 years, probably more than I've hung out with than my immediate family, just because as you get older, you get busy, your paths go in different directions. And next thing you know, you've got these core group of who were friends who are now pretty much your family.
Yeah.
And we've been lucky enough to where our core friends then became our band members, which is now our business and our family. And we kind of get to like share this just awesome journey together. And on that journey, we've gotten to meet amazing, you know, bands like you guys, tour with you guys, become friends to where I now think Ohana.
Yeah.
You know,
no, and, totally.
And it's just very, very cool. So when you're thinking of that, surround yourself with like good, positive people, people who you think like, man, I'm probably going to, you know, be around these people for hopefully the rest of my life. You know, try and choose some good, positive people that not just make you happy at that moment or people that you can have a good time with at that moment, but someone you can see like, wow, we have a good time, but he's also got, you know, a positive path ahead of him. And I like the decisions they make, and think about that, because you're really going to be around these people for a long time. And it's going to be kind of a reflection on yourself as well. So when you're choosing your good friends and your life fucking partners and people you're starting businesses with or relationships with or whatever it is, choose some good, positive people.
Totally. I think people that can challenge you in an inspirational way. You know what I mean? Totally. Because that seems like the best way to get out of your comfort zone a little bit, which is in turn a way that you're going to grow, you know?
100%. So.
You become who you surround yourself with. That's just absolutely true, you know?
Yeah. So it's impossible not to.
Yeah. If you're hanging out, you know, if you're an artist, you want to surround yourself with artists or people that are going to inspire you in that field, whatever you're into. Obviously, you have your family members. You don't get to choose everyone. So you just try to be the best you and pick up family members if they need it, or friends along the way that are downtrodden. It's okay to be there for people and help them up. But in the end, yeah, you want to surround yourself with good people. You're going to act like the people you hang out with. You're going to hang out in the places they hang out with. So surround yourself with lovely people, and you too will be lovely.
Yeah. Well, and that's true. Like touching on that. I mean, that's why I was saying it's like your spiritual circumference is your ohana, and that could be bad people if you choose that to be.
Uh-huh. 100%.
And that's going to equate to nothing but bad things, in my opinion. So, no, totally.
You're hanging out with all thieves, you're going to steal some cars.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, you guys hit it on the nose. It's nearly impossible to not become the average of all the people that you hang out with, you know?
Yeah. And if you surround yourself with good people, you got a nice solid ohana around you.
Yeah.
You're probably going to feel good, right,
Jake? I would imagine so, Duddy. Yes.
Oh, you're going to feel so good. And you know what? On this show, Feeling Good with Duddy, we've got a couple sponsors, and they're things that make us feel good. And
we align ourselves with positive sponsors, Duddy, making us positive and feel good.
Yes. And one thing I like to do with my ohana is drink whiskey. And our first sponsor of the day is a sponsor that has been with us since the beginning. Proper 12.
Where's Proper 12 from?
It's an Irish whiskey, but I believe that it's an Irish whiskey. I want to say it's distilled in... I don't even know. I should have learned this. I do know it's delicious.
So, because there's the difference between it being a bourbon and a bourbon's got to be from America, right?
I'm not the guy.
Yes, you are correct.
I'm just throwing this shit out there, too. Okay. It might just be stuff that I've heard along the way, you know. But, and then.
Oh, yeah, because you hear Kentucky bourbon. So I think.
Exactly. Yes. I think. Yeah.
You're right.
And then that's kind of going to be, I would guess, a rootsier, more legit version of Jameson. Proper 12 is what it's looking like.
Oh, distilled, aged, and bottled in Ireland.
Yeah. Boom.
Bang.
There you go.
This is like Conor McGregor's brand.
Yeah.
You know what I recently found out is how low-calorie Guinness beer is.
Yeah. It's one of the lower-calorie beers.
It's like Coors Light.
It's one of the lower-calorie beers.
Like 120 calories of a fucking can.
A lot of people would not think so.
No.
The thickest, frothiest one.
We just did another thing.
Yeah, let's get a couple shots of this Proper 12. Yeah. Well, on that note, one more second. Proper 12, if you haven't tried this, go pick yourself up a bottle. It's really good. And as I did that, did you see that? I did the reggae colors.
Yep.
I said, shit.
That now means reggae colors reggae in sign colors. Language. The shaka. Means red,
12.
Yellow, green.
Pick it up. It's delicious. Get a bottle. Have some friends over. Take some shots. And if you take a picture of yourself taking shots with your friends with the Proper 12 bottle and you tag Feeling Good with Duddy in it, I'll send you something. I won't tell you what it is, but I'll send you something. And you saw it.
He'll send you some air.
And it's going to feel good, whatever you send him. I guarantee that.
It is indeed.
We're going to try some Koi
hemp-derived
CBD.
CBD hitters.
Proper 12.
Boom.
Cheers. Also on this show, we have another sponsor. Koi CBD. It's an amazing product. I use it every morning. I use this dropper every morning, not only because I feel...
Is that full spectrum?
Yeah, and I feel like this, it doesn't only just take the edge off my day. Mm-hmm. It really can help you with any sort of pains you have, inflammation. It's great for it's, yeah. You know, if you're someone who takes a lot of like, you know, pain pills over the counter pain meds, give CBD a try. I think it's going to help you with whatever ails you, and it's a lot healthier for you and it's delicious. I'm going to take some right now.
A little, tidbit about CBD. We did a couple tours ago, did a VIP package with some CBD pens, and we had a number of fans hit us up that had Crohn's disease. And they said how much it helped their Crohn's because with the inflammation, I guess Crohn's.
Is that a stomach deal?
Yeah, it's like might be an intestinal thing or something. But yeah, it's just so that it's just a statement for how amazing CBD is for a number of things.
You rarely hear anyone not stoked on CBD.
It's non-psychoactive. It's like so, I mean, the main thing you hear about marijuana is people freaking out and panicking because they get so high. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if you're not getting that and there's, yeah.
You're just feeling comfortable.
I love Koi so much. I made them a song. Koi CBD, I love your drops. They taste better than tater tots. They even help me with my brain. I even think they help my pain. Koi CBD, I love your drops. They feel better than brand new socks. Koi CBD, thanks a lot. Because if you go to their website right now and you put in code DUDDYB, 20%
I just watched every chair on The Voice turn around. Everyone's interested in you.
Yeah. KoiCBD.com. You use code DUDDYB, 20% off. Or I think it's just code DUDDY. Try them both.
Yep.
Okay, one of them, you're not going to save anything, but give them both a good old go.
Mm-hmm,
we got to figure out if it's DUDDY or DUDDYB.
I think it's DUDDY.
Episode 10, just DUDDY.
Code DUDDY, DUDDY. You put it in, you're going to feel better, and you're going to feel even way better because it'll be cheaper, 20% cheaper. And
20% better.
That being said, another sponsor that we have that I love and use every single day, Sticky Vapes, because I am a busy smoker, dude, and I love to have these in my pocket. Sticky Vapes, check it out. Great company, great people. I use it all the time. Jake, where do you use it?
I hotbox porta potties with it.
You look like that type of...
I'm exactly that man. Yeah,
that's such a Jake thing to do.
It's a big me thing.
I've...
I kick the door open and reveal myself after.
I have had fucking people at shows like, hey, Duddy, you want to go? I got a joint. You want to go in the porta potty and smoke? First off, it's a joint. Yeah. We can smoke it right fucking here. Nobody cares.
Daddy goes, why? First off, yes.
But
yeah, that's people, a creepy offer.
That's a creepy offer, dude. No, I don't. No, I don't want to do that.
Joints are though. Super lippy, dude. And you guys out there. I don't always want to put my lips on random people that I don't know's lips.
Oh, that's
especially
another
in a porta potty.
The vape pen thing now, like the everyone's got one of these vape, like the sticky vape or something in their pocket. Hey, man, I'm stoked that you have one. I don't need to hit your vape pen if you're a complete stranger. And that's a thing, like in meet and greets and everything, people walk up, Duddy, hit my pen. I'm like, that's not only been in your pocket all day,
right.
It's also been in your mouth for many days. Like, I don't see you walking around with, you know, disinfectant wipes. So we good.
And yeah. I'd rather eat whatever's in your pocket.
Yeah.
So at this point.
Because guess what? I also have one in my pocket. Just saying.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the offer. I really like it now.
Feeling good. Yeah. We keep it wildly positive for the first half, and then it's a shit fest on the way out, dude.
I was going to save this one for later, but let's just knock it out now. I got one more sponsor on it.
What is that stuff? I see that a lot.
This stuff is great. This product of theirs is amazing. It's like a natural melatonin spray.
Okay.
And you should take, actually, when you leave, take this with you. It's awesome. You get off stage at like midnight, and you're just like kind of wound up.
Adrenaline's pumping.
You've just been listening to loud-ass music, and... Oh, Jacob. Yeah. So, and it's hard to go to bed sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And
totally.
You got a busy day the next day, dude. Take a couple of those sprays. Yeah. You're gonna sleep like a baby. Like it's awesome.
So they make a bunch of supplements, though, right?
They do.
Melatonin,
yeah.
Melatonin and a whole
they
bunch.
They do.
Of-
I also actually have. Oh, I have one in there. They have this like instant powder that's like great for like memory and just brain activity.
Gotcha.
And focus, which is amazing. You just pour it in some water and boom, and it actually tastes really good. But I also have these packets, these Total Human packets, and it's like it comes with two packets, and one's your daytime supplement, one's your nighttime supplement. And it gives you like a 30-day of each one. And I've been taking them now for like 2 weeks, and it's great, man. I love it.
Nice.
It feels amazing. So On It, and that's two N's, O-N-N-I-T, onit.com. Check it out.
Get on it.
Boom.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Yeah. So, your new single that you guys just did Brand New Day with Dave and Jungle Josh. Yeah.
It started with the Boognish tattoo that Dave gave me when we were on tour in the summer of 2014, and unconsciously now led to him producing a song, two songs actually.
Oh, he did two?
Yeah, there's another one too.
Nice. I thought he just did the one.
Yeah. No, there's Dose on there. But So we're psyched, man. It's kind of that's the record that's coming out on June 28th. It's called Local Motion, and it's not just a clever name. We literally like pulled a bunch of the, for lack of a better term, the local motion in our kind of little reggae rock genre we have going on here to produce the thing for us. So Dave being one of them, and Jungle Josh, one of the teams. Stick Figure was another one of the teams that did a couple songs on there. Our buddy named Henry Fong, who's a EDM DJ, produced a song. Him and his buddy Jinko, actually, they did the one song together. Then Kaleo with our friend Ronnie King, that's done a ton of keyboard on a bunch of our old records and whatnot. They did a couple songs. Noah Cronin, who did all the Landon McNamara stuff, two Landon McNamara records. He's kind of a young kid, just up, and his biggest things he's done so far is the Landon McNamara stuff. But just has such a rad, fresh take on kind of, I don't know, I guess like contemporary Hawaiian reggae, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And he's got a studio called C-Major 7 that's in Oahu. So. That's kind of what it consists of, the production teams of the whole record. And
that's dope. When's that drop?
June 28th.
Nice. So that's coming up.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, we got two. So two singles are out so far, and then we have, I think, one.
Brand New Day, and what was it, Warning?
Yeah.
Warning,
Warning was the first one with with Stick Figure on it. And then that one just came out. The Brand New Day just came out on Friday. Got a couple videos for them both, and... yeah, we're psyched. You probably know. Sometimes you release a record and you're like, oh, sick. Okay, it's coming out. Okay, it came out. Okay, shit, I wish I would have done this and that. Like, this one, we really have, like, all guns are blazing. We're firing on all pistons. We brought in someone to work the record label side that we actually poached from another record label. So we're like,
beautiful.
Yeah, so we're like full record label guys. Like, poaching people. And
that's
shit.
Coming out a lot.
Yeah.
I take it.
Yeah, sweet. Absolutely. So that whole, if you lift up the hood of Law Records right now, the engine is running very smoothly and nicely.
Oh, that's good to hear.
And well, just because those things you run, especially with the double-edged sword of technology these days, is yes, it's so easy to get music out there, but to correctly and strategically get it out there, there's so much more T's to cross and I's to dot. It's fucking insane. Like making sure all your back end's good with all your Facebooks and all your like.
Well, it's crazy. There's like a whole other side to it. And you got to think of the socials, which is like a humongous side of it now. And then not just like, okay, well, are we going to try for radio? well, now you also think, okay, well, are we going to try for radio? But then also, what are we pushing towards streamings?
Yeah.
It's different, you know,
because
certain songs might work way better streaming and certain songs will work way better for radio. And like,
100%.
There's so much more to think about.
Yeah. It's crazy. So, yeah. So that's, so on that end, that everything's lined up pretty straight. We're really excited. We got the tour around it that, finished the first leg with Iration, Fortunate Youth, and Catastro. Yeah, we're psyched. We're on. I was talking to people on tour, and because we're on one of those, we're on a good one right now where we've just been like really crushing shows lately, and like feeling like real good. Where we're connecting on that subconscious level, where you know a band does sometimes, where you just after being a band for 20 years, you know, you go through peaks and valleys, and
oh, big time.
Yeah, and we're just like, everyone's just happy. Everyone's really excited. Everyone's just so just feeling it right now. So yeah, we're connecting on a subconscious level right now,
and
just having you know what it is, we're having a fucking blast.
Well, man,
that's all so really bad. Comes down to is we're having so much fun right now. So
you guys have been doing it for so long. I mean, you literally have been doing it longer than the Dirty Heads, because when you were playing that show with Surround Sound, like we talked about earlier, like Dirty Heads weren't a band yet. We would go up with Surround Sound and play like two songs. And I don't even think we had a name.
They were
yet.
A thing.
I don't even think we were called the Dirty Heads. We had the first song we ever played with them, the song was called Dirty Heads.
Was John John with you guys?
He was with them.
John John was in our band.
Holy shit.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. This is
I didn't
all
know that.
Fun. It's so crazy. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure at one point, but that's. Well, it was escaped all. Me.
By the time we met you guys, they were. Becoming a thing. So our band, you know, was HB Surround Sound. It was my band. We were like a punk rock, reggae, ska. Who knows what we were, you know? But John John was in our band, and he was playing percussions, and he had a couple cymbals he would hit. And the Dirty Heads, you know, Duddy and Jared had two songs. They had a song called Give Me the Microphone and a song called Dirty Heads. And we just knew that they were good, you know? Right when we heard them, we're like, oh, that's unique. Like, what we're doing is cool, but we're just doing this. Like, what they did was unique.
Totally.
Everyone knew. We're like, oh, that sounds different than everyone. So we would just bring them up to play those two songs at our shows. And the show that we played with Pepper in 1999, the Dirty Heads came up and did their two songs at that show. So shortly after that, they became a band, called themselves the Dirty Heads, and they maybe had five songs now, and they had nothing. It was just my brother's acoustic guitar, him and Jared singing.
Yeah.
So John John, rather than sitting around not having much to do when we played punk songs, we're like, why don't you just go with my brother and be the percussionist? So John was like their drummer.
He's all we had.
It was all they had. So now at least they had Duddy on guitar, a percussionist of some sort, and John plays the damn bongos and djembes and everything like it's a drum set. So it had this unique, cool sound, and from there they picked up other instruments and fucking
crazy. Because that was when that incarnation with you, Jared, and John John was when we first linked up at SWAT in San Felipe, right?
Yep.
It was the three of you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That trip was insane.
Yeah, I possibly thought I wasn't going to come back from it at one point.
What year is
we
this?
We barely made it.
2002, 2003. Yeah. So I think we've maybe, like, got our first little, like, we'd done Warped Tour once, and maybe, like, Kona Town got its first little, oh, a couple people like this album, like oh, right on, little bump or
people,
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, you guys kind of, when you landed here, there was some buzz.
Yeah, there was a nice buzz.
Yeah,
there
yeah, there, which was funny because people used to hate us so bad about ripping off Sublime back then, because when we first moved here, and there would be, like, message boards when websites first came out, message boards were a big thing, you know what I mean?
Oh, I remember message boards.
Yeah, and people would just rip us a new, like, fucking asshole every day, because you guys are such fucking ripoffs, like this and that, like whatever, like, and I think it was, I don't know if it was both the boys' voice or if it was more like Kaleo's, like, oh, you guys are so disrespectful trying to sound just like Bradley, this and that. And then it's funny because you fast forward and try, we are the biggest Sublime fans there is. And like, we're coming at a point where we're like, what? We respect, like,
this is,
like,
out of respect.
Yeah, those guys are heroes. And then, but it's funny now you flash forward to nowadays and it's like, people want that, I think. People want bands to sound like, and I remember when I first got into Sublime, I was looking for any, when I figured out that they were kind of playing reggae, because I didn't figure it out for a while, because I heard the Descendants cover on a surf video.
Yep, on Momentum 2.
Yeah, on I heard Hope, and I thought they were like Pennywise and NoFX and all the those bands. So I was like, oh, sick, another like of these sick punk bands. Then I heard Don't Push, and I got so confused. I was like, what the? And then I spent the next like number of months searching for 40 Ounces of Freedom because in Kona I couldn't fucking find it. Even flew to Oahu to Jelly's.
Oh wow!
That was the sick comic and CD store, CD and tapes at that time.
Yeah.
And my mom took me over there. Yeah. Let me find Sublime. Found Robin the Hood. And bought it, but it was kind of a shocker because I started listening to it. And I was
"What
is this?
More of a
What is this crack music like?" Because I didn't dig to the Easter eggs yet in it, like the greatest hits and like all those Saw Red and all those songs. I just listened to like the kind of like four track speed meth music, for lack of a better term.
And then you hear like there's like a hobo yelling at someone for 5 minutes. On that album. Back out.
Back out.
Like what the fuck? But
Raleigh. Totally.
But
I think my point was, once I figured I was reggae, I was looking for any little. I remember Real Big Fish had a couple songs that weren't ska and were actually kind of like slower tempo. I was digging for like anything like that. And it seems like the world works in cycles. It seems like we're back to that cycle now where kids are just, there's a lot more of it now, obviously, because there's a whole scene, a reggae rock scene now, which wasn't, it was more just part of the alternative scene then. The kids are just digging for it.
It was a funky thing right when all of those bands, because our band was doing like kind of reggae, and it was almost like if you threw a reggae skank in at all, everyone just said, "Wanna be Sublime."
Totally.
I swear to God, dude. Because our band got the same shit. Like, most of our music was punk. We had like three reggae songs and a bunch of punk and metal, but it was, we played one reggae. It was like, "Wanna be Sublime, assholes."
Yeah.
And fair enough, you know.
Oh, yeah, whatever. To this day, it's fun. Like you said, if you throw a skank in, they kind of sound like Sublime.
Yeah.
They kind of sound like Sublime.
If you go distorted at one point, if you're distortion, and then if there's ever a skank, you are a Sublime band.
Yeah.
That's what
totally.
We thought we were the Clash. That's what we wanted to be. We loved Sublime too, but you know, we were like, we'll be like the Clash. And then it was like, no, Sublime wannabes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of so funny, too.
Which is a crazy statement for what an empire.
See that lighter?
Yeah.
Firemaker.
Yeah, but you know what? It was almost like, cool, we kind of sound like Sublime. Thank you.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's better than whatever we think we sound
seriously,
like.
Seriously. Same thing.
What do you got, Mark? What do you got?
Listener questions? Mark, dude, just shining.
Nice.
Yeah, let's do some listener questions.
I'm interested in this because, Duddy, you were saying there was actually a couple good ones.
There was a couple good ones. You know what? We're going to be super professional. Yeah, I'm just going to pull it up on my phone a total pro.
I'm very curious. Have you guys seen Cobra Kai, by the way, on YouTube?
Oh, shit. I haven't seen season two yet, but season one was a straight.
I
was just amazing.
Oh, you got to watch it, Duddy. You'll love it.
It'll make you rethink the entire early days.
Yeah, thank you. No, I'm only two episodes into the second season, though, so they flipped that whole deal on its head.
All you want is for Johnny to succeed, dude.
When they do the montage and flip it about, like, Daniel LaRusso being the bad guy, you're like, wait. Holy shit.
You start agreeing.
You're right. Fuck Daniel LaRusso.
He pushed you at the beach and tried to get your girlfriend. Of course you have to fight. Like,
came from out of town.
No.
From Fresno.
Dumped water over the thing at you when you're smoking a joint at Halloween. All right, we got some listener questions.
Okay, I was trying to read them on
my phone. That is professional. We're looking at this on a flat screen.
But those aren't all the questions. I was going to read a different one.
We'll pull, Duddy, pull the ones you're into, bro.
That's okay. Okay, what about this? We'll do it. Okay, now they just took it down. Okay, here we go. How about this one? Rebecca and the Arcades, I would love to hear you describe your creative process while writing a song.
Let's see. The normal one would be on our past albums would be usually Brett and Clay will come up with an idea, and then we'll all sit in a room together and we'll hash it out, and that's the kind of overall umbrella way that Pepper writes music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Occasionally, like a song like Blackout, which is a punk rock tune on our Pink Crustaceans album. That was just like me in my bedroom with my acoustic guitar. I came up with this little like punk rock riff, showed it to the boys, and they were actually like, "Oh, what? Oh, we should jam that actually. That's pretty sick." You know what I mean? So it's like usually it's going to start with a guitar riff from the guitar, and rarely will it start with a vocal melody. And then kind of go from there. But to talk about our new album, Locomotion, it was almost like we stopped at the idea part where we came up with an idea of a song. And then we sent it to the different camps. We sent it to Dave and Jungle Josh, sent it to Stick Figure Boys.
Oh, nice.
And then got their take on it because what we wanted was we really wanted to run it through their filter. Because you take a song like Warning, and there's no way in hell we would have came out of the studio with that reggae heavy of a song.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no way.
And that was with Scott from
yeah.
the Stick Figure,
yeah,
right?
100%. Yeah. And that's because we did, like I said, to answer your question, after that initial idea of the song coming up. Yeah, let me try that. After that initial idea of the song coming up, we passed it on to whoever the production crew was to get their take on it.
Oh, that's very cool.
And then they got it back to us and maybe a couple little things. But we were already so far out of our comfort zone that we were getting a way different product, which is exactly what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then after that, it got brought back to us where we did that hashing out I was talking about, which would normally happen right after a guitar riff or a vocal idea and then turn it into a Pepper song.
Yeah.
So, yeah. They so almost, it was cool. like, it was like that's bringing cool. like a fourth member into the band, I guess you could say.
But they start on an acoustic guitar probably like, huh?
100%.
Yeah. That's what it's so. That's yeah. what it always almost is. That's the easiest way. Like some people play piano and there are people now who get on a thing like a garage band and start building a song. But yeah, man, for the most part, it's an acoustic guitar. You come up with something catchy and you realize it and then build from there.
Yeah.
And you guys do it together.
Yeah.
Someone comes up with a riff and then it's, hey, boys, everyone piles on.
Totally. Because I think there's the three, I mean, there could be the three real aspects of a song, and it's like the initial chord progression, and then there's the groove of the song, which can totally take it and can make it a totally different song from one from A to B. It could be a totally different song from Groove Rise, and then there's the melody of the thing to, you know. No, so it's like those three pillars. I think maybe we're almost pretty much finished by the time it got back to us the second time. Yeah. Which was great, and we didn't want to get it back and be like, oh, actually no, and come out with something that we would have done by us three going into the studio anyway. So
no, yeah. That's cool. You know, that's a really cool take on it, because I don't know if we've ever done that. Like, obviously we've worked with lots of different producers and writers.
Yeah.
But when we've worked with the producer.
Us too, but never to this, like, here's our baby. Raise it for a little bit and give it back. And we want
to cool
see how it
take
turns out.
On it to like actually make a start and then just send it to a producer and be like, yo, do your thing without us in the room.
No, literally a couple of them were just fucking scratch vocals.
And then they just made something around it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's
fucking
really cool.
I'm pretty sure I would have to double check, but I'm pretty sure Brett sent, I don't know if it was Scott or someone, literally a scratch vocal track that might have even been from his phone or something.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where it started.
That's
and
really
then
cool.
We got it back with like, say, a groove and maybe a chord structure or something.
Yeah.
And then we're like, okay. And then it
go from there.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's, it was cool because we have our own studio up in the South Bay in Redondo Beach, which is Pennywise's old place. It was called Stall Number 2 back then. It's called Kona Town Recording now.
Nice.
So we're able to go in there and just do whatever I want, whatever we want as far as be free with time and whatnot. And Brett and Claire have their studios at home. So, I mean, you know, as a vocalist, I'm sure doing vocals at home can be such a comfortable rad thing. You
best.
Know what I mean? So,
yeah
so with all that, that's kind of, you know, after all those tightening up the loose ends, we were pretty much where we're at now with the record ready to go.
That's super cool. Yeah. Good question, Rebecca and the Arcades.
Yeah. Thanks, Rebecca.
Heady Hippie 710. Is there going to be any more pepper strains available? Hawaiian pepper was in Fuego.
Yeah, no. Speaking of, the Hawaiian pepper was by a company called Johnetics up in the Bay Area, and it was pure sativa as well.
Wow.
All that, because all the, like back in the day, like in high school and whatnot, we had some friends that were solid green thumbs, and you know, they would just be growing all kind of crazy cross strains, guava this, guava all this. But at the end of the day, they all had that piney sativa smell, which was just that heavy, heavy sativa.
You know, when you smell it.
So we ran into Johnetics, and they kind of had the pretty much like to the T that strain that we grew up smelling, which turned out to be, which the Hawaiian pepper is a Golden State Haze, Lemon Haze, and I think just like another, like a Golden Haze or something. It's three that are together, all pure sativas. And that kind of just will grow at a real limited kind of supply here and there. And occasionally we'll make some pens with them through Shatter Tanks, just some live resin pens and whatnot. But we're just in talks with a new farm because we want to do something that is that people can get, basically.
Yeah.
You know, because like with the Hawaiian pepper, it's like once in a while it comes around. Yeah. And if you're
it's a treat.
Yeah, if you're in the Bay Area, you can get it because their delivery system will deliver it and whatnot. So, yeah, we're talking to some farm right now about getting something that is kind of a mainstay, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Yeah.
Man, when I smoke a lot, I get hungry. Do you get hungry? Are you hungry right now? I got something for you.
Oh God,
dude! I know that you guys love these.
It smelled like sweet bread was baking.
I got
in
you
here.
Hawaiian rolls, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It was baking behind the TV.
Yeah, I was about to ask.
Fresh,
yeah, fresh. That's the new Sony microwave TV.
That's exactly
Thank
it,
you.
Dude.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can have one now. You can take them home with you. I'm sure you haven't had one since you've been, you know, here from Hawaii.
No.
We had them shipped
because it was a long canoe ride over here to get here.
Yeah, so. Of course, yeah.
Sweet man.
Hey, much love. That that is dinner and dessert right there.
And you got
that.
And the pizza. Don't forget the Hawaiian pizza.
Yeah, God, it's amazing.
It's unreal.
I'm feeling better than good. I'm feeling better than good, guys.
Oh, now I get the question.
Have you ever tried Hawaiian sweet bread? Yes. Should have read that earlier.
Stakora the dragon asks, do you love dragons? That's just, everybody loves dragons. Let's be fucking honest, okay?
Yeah.
I know, especially the whole Game of Thrones thing and all that. You know what I mean?
It was a tough watch if you love dragons. A lot of them
true.
Made it. Yeah.
But dragons are so hot right now.
They're very hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben Affleck has one on his back.
It's kind of like Hansel and Zoolander. You know, they're so hot, right? He's so hot
right
now.
He's so hot right now.
It's like dragons. They're so hot.
Hansel.
Yeah.
Let's do another one. Odd_Rena with two eyes. I'm guessing that's Audrina.
She's either really odd and her name's Rena or her name's Audrina.
Right.
Who are your biggest influences?
Let's see. I got to say, it's so funny because I was talking to the wifey about this the other night and like at the risk of this sounding douchey, Lars has probably had the biggest influence on me as a drummer.
Doesn't sound douchey at all.
Okay, yeah, the whole Napster thing. People like to hate on Lars. Well, I'm not saying I think it sounds douchey.
People
I'm
like
just saying,
to hate on you, as we talked about earlier. God, you
right.
want to be sublime.
Yeah. People like to hate.
Yeah,
that's
you're
why
right.
they need the especially feeling with, good with daddy.
Especially with social media too. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
But nonetheless, Lars probably the biggest influence on me. My mom took me to see the Injustice for All tour at the Blaisdell Arena in Oahu in 1989. It was probably like the main thing that really got the engine running to want to play drums and whatnot. As far as a drummer, he is probably one of the biggest influences, along with, you know, John Bonham from Led Zeppelin, of course. Stuart Copeland was kind of the one that really, from the Police, kind of got me hip to you can play reggae drums without playing reggae, in a sense. I don't know if that makes any sense, but like
it's weird because the police are playing reggae, but it does. You have to like think about it and go, that's reggae, sort of,
or even just break it down to like the drum groove or something, like Walking on the Moon or something. You know what I mean? You're like, that's a straight up reggae groove, but but it's such a big pop song. At the same time, it kind of gets lost because.
They threw their own style on it.
Yeah, and it's the Police.
Copeland's
there's a difference between, you know, like, and I would say that even kind of happens to us sometimes where it's like we get lumped in this, oh, you guys are a reggae band. And it's like, we're very influenced by reggae. Yeah. And I think that's the same with Police. It's like, I wouldn't say, oh, the Police, that's a reggae band.
No.
Would I be like, man, they're heavily influenced by reggae? Yes.
Yeah.
Totally. But I would never be like, Police, reggae band.
Totally.
And that's a nice spectrum, too, because you got John, you said Lars, who's just like a heavy pocket guy, but he does have cool, weird timing things. And then you got Stuart Copeland, who's like a tingy tangy, more light handed drummer, but it's like, I don't know. He's using a lot of weird cymbals.
Weird stuff.
And
oh, yeah. A lot
he's
of real,
a
real
fun
accent,
drummer.
Real accenty, real.
Super
yeah.
accenty.
Yeah,
yeah.
Super, super fun drummer. And that's, like, I think that's part of Stuart Copeland and definitely Lars. I think Lars has written some of the coolest drum parts, definitely some of the coolest thrash metal parts ever. Is the entertainment value that Lars has when he performs, I really appreciate. You know what I mean? Because I'm like us being a 3-piece band, I'm always trying to do as much as I can back there, and you know what I mean. Like I'm trying to entertain the crowd as well, as hold the beat down because there's just three of us up there and trying to do. So it's like I look at Lars and someone and like the shit that he does standing up behind his drum kit and like that shit like gives me chicken skin and makes my blood boil in the best way ever too. You know,
do that a lot. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, so it's like that's the I think it's the not only the skill that I appreciate of all the shit that he's written and the history that he's made, but also just the performance value that someone like Lars obviously pays attention to.
Yeah,
you know,
that's cool, man. That's cool. Any other good ones here? Let's see. Oh, here's one from Lionize Music.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
boys.
The boys.
Yeah.
When Lionize Music was on tour with you guys, why did you make them kiss you goodnight after each show?
Oh, man. Well, I think it was mainly because the stubble, you know, it kind of was the equivalent of like putting me to sleep, just rocking me to sleep a little bit.
Natural like exfoliant as before bed,
Kind of like a Velcro thing with your beard and their stubble?
Yeah, no, I was just probably didn't even have a beard back then, actually.
This is what inspired him to...
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it might have sprouted.
Because of the
sprouted because of the Lion Eyes boys, you know?
This could lead us back into the next segment. You got one?
Closer to the Sun?
Oh, are you trying to go for Bandcamp?
Even see the CTTS one.
Yeah, that's what that means, right?
You got any good... Closer to the Sun stories? Do you just have a Bandcamp story?
I got a real solid Bandcamp story.
And we're doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, and this one time at Bandcamp?
So this one time at Bandcamp, I guess it's kind of a skin pincher for me, which is the ones I always look forward to because whenever I look back to my young self and be like, what the fuck, I can't believe this is happening, I'm like, yes, those are the moments in life I love. Yeah. So we were on tour in 2007, I think it was, and it was with us, the Mad Caddies, and the Supervillains. It was right after we put out the No Shame album. And this was one of the first times that I think the Brodeo really started to come around heavy. And I'm sorry, I think it was the Expendables, Mad Caddies, and us. And anyway, we're at the Fillmore, and we'd been, for the Brodeo, we'd been covering Eat the Meek by NOFX and doing it acoustically. So, which was rad. It's one of our favorite bands, NOFX, obviously, with like their record label. Like, that's the reason we have a record label, everything. Never thought of the fact that the Mad Caddies are on Fat Records. So lo and behold, at the Fillmore, Fat Mike shows up and he's like, and we've known him from Warped Tour kind of, but still he's like, he's Fat Mike. So we're like, hey, what's going on, Fat Mike? And instantly I'm like, ah, shit. We're going to play his song. And like, hey boys, maybe we should talk. Like, everyone's like, nah, fuck that. Nah, let's do it. So I'm like, hey, Fatty. Yeah, good to see you, man. Hey, just to let you know, like, fuck, man, we've been probably kind of butchering your songs. This was before internet was like Instagram.
So
you probably
hadn't
heard. Yeah. No, he tells us, he's like, no, actually, I saw a YouTube video of it. I'm like, oh, no. I actually want to jam it with you guys tonight. I want to play bass.
Nice.
I was like, you got to be kidding me. So then flash forward, we're doing the Brodeo. Fatty's there on the side of the stage waiting for the acoustic bass. He just rocks the acoustic bass on Eat the Meek. And yeah, just full pinch myself.
That's pretty awesome.
It was, yeah. And those are the times that I make sure that they're not overseen by my conscious self because I always got to look back and be like, holy fuck.
That's pretty cool.
That is fucking amazing.
That's
a
huge thing to be able to do. Realizing when you're in a moment.
Yeah.
And then being able to go, oh, I'm in a moment. Like, let's go ahead and soak this one in. Like,
yeah.
Enjoy this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's hard to do sometimes because also, for instance, I did I sat in with Steel Pulse for when their drummer passed away. They had Grizzly, God rest your soul, legend, rest in paradise. When Grizzly passed away, they had a tribute for him at the Henry. Just pointing towards LA.
Right back behind this TV, they did a.
Yeah, they had at the Henry Fonda, they had a tribute and they invited a bunch of drummers. So they invited me.
That's cool.
First thing, I was like, who? Do you have the wrong number? You might have the wrong number. But nonetheless, I had a hard time enjoying the moment because I was so fucking nervous the whole night. So it's hard. Yeah, it's hard to do sometimes.
That's
and
a big
even,
one.
Well, even yeah. Yeah, even when you recognize it, because and afterwards, like my lady was like, I could tell you were nervous. I don't know, and like you're like I played. I was happy with how I played and everything, but I was like, I had a real hard time
loosening up.
Yeah, and enjoy like, just yeah. enjoying it. Like oh man, I'm here with all these drummers that I look up to and being included. Like. I totally get it, and everything's so rad, but fuck, I'm so nervous.
Dude, it's such a good thing to be nervous, too. That's yeah, like,
it is.
Dude, totally, and it didn't help that when at Soundcheck, Omlok, the bass player, I've met David Hines a couple times just at festivals, like, hey, nice to meet you, big fan, whatever. And he always seems like such a kind of mellow, not very stern guy. Right when I get on stage, Omlok's like, hey, yeah, just to let you know, like, David, he's kind of a stickler, like, especially about tempo. I'm like, oh, God. And then he rolls on stage in completely different demeanor than I've met him from a fan perspective, because now I'm, like, playing drums for him. Way stern. I'm just like, and I think that's what kicked me off, where I was like, oh, man, this is heavy.
I got to be perfect.
Yeah.
Dude, that's insane.
But, yeah, so.
That is cool.
But those are more of those, I guess, those times that I look back and I'm like, I can't even believe this is happening to me, but thank you. And I'm very grateful for it. So
that's rad.
Yeah.
So we just, we were just hanging out a couple days ago.
Yes.
At Cali Roots Fest.
Yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys played the very first one with us. You guys were the headliner, the very first Cali Roots ever.
2009. There was like 1,500 people
maybe
there, maybe.
1,500 people, maybe. Was it like us, you guys? Was it Expendables?
I think so.
And like Ballyhoo, maybe?
Yeah, one stage.
And that might have been like it, maybe one other band.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but did you have any idea that this whole genre was going to blow up like it did back then?
It's been pretty crazy to be a part of the ride.
Yeah, mind-blowing, right?
Like you said, like, I never knew... I guess to continue in this field, you have to have some sort of like gut, like feeling or inkling of like, man, I think my band's going to make it.
Totally.
You have to have that. 100%. If you're not thinking that and you're doing this,
yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, so I guess we always just thought like, yeah, man, I think our band can make it. But I never thought like, hey, man, I think we can just blow this whole scene up and we can grow this whole scene together. Like, I don't think that was ever the thought.
No, never.
And not saying that we started the scene at all, but I do think that, you know, we've been kind of a part of it since it really started to grow.
Yeah, totally.
And you guys especially. I mean, you guys even were in it a few years before we started.
Yeah, and that, I think that's why I brought it up is because it continues to grow. And I think I was like, semi-joking this over this weekend where Cali Roots is almost a barometer of how big the reggae rock scene is blowing up because now it's this crazy 15,000 people a day festival that runs every year and it's pretty mind-blowing.
And the list of bands are insane.
I know, because now you got like a stick figure that's blowing up to become a... I mean, who knows? In a couple of years, they'll probably be headlining amphitheaters. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's I think they're close. I mean,
yeah, I think they're close too.
I mean, they were, I think, like probably the opening act of the shows in this scene.
For sure.
4, 5, 6 years ago.
100%.
Only that long ago. And now they're like headlining huge festivals.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't, you know, happen to a nicer group of dudes too. Like, I love those guys.
You know what blows my mind too is they haven't put out that much music.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Scott was really busy before he formed the band and started touring into that, but I was tripping out because I noticed the other day they haven't put out an album since 2015.
They're constantly touring.
Yeah.
They're constantly on socials.
And they made a strong album.
Yeah. And they put on a good show.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's the recipe for success.
Totally.
You know?
I mean, because I think about it like when, like, just in commenting on a strong album, when we put out Conatown, obviously we were a tiny band and it took a while for that thing to blow up. And then it blew up in 2005, 3 years after we put it out, and blew up big where it carried us for years.
Years.
You know what I mean? I mean, shit, things still helps carry us.
Oh,
you know what I mean? It's definitely one of the fucking tires of our vehicle that's moving. Yeah. So,
I mean, ours, our first album too, Any Port in a Storm. Same thing. Like that, we toured off that album for like 5 years.
Totally.
You guys tried for a few singles off that album before Lay Me Down hit, which wasn't even on that album.
Yeah.
We had to re-release it.
Well, because there was Stand Tall that Native Wayne
He did like the very end of it. He did that
scat thing on it.
Wicked and Wiley.
Yeah.
And Stantall had a minute on K-Rock where it was being played. It just never hooked.
I think it was more of a locally radio thing. I don't think it ever even got in the top 20 or nothing like that. Mm-hmm. But it got on that one movie like Surf's Up.
Because I remember us being excited like, holy shit, their song's on the local radio. Like, and they played it more than a few times. Yeah. You know, but then it just wasn't.
Yeah. And it got played on random other stations that maybe like Arizona, because we would play Arizona. Yep. Maybe Colorado, because we would play Colorado. But it wasn't like it was just being ran on the radio. Like, so it's crazy. Like, you can, if you make a strong piece of work, you can really, you know, you can tour off it for a bit, you know?
And that's something that will not change.
No.
Whether there's fucking technology happens or doesn't happen, or new social networks or something besides social media happens, is the fact of a quality product will never change.
It's true.
You know what I mean? And it's like, because all that's like what the albums we just talked about, like whether you put those out now or then or in the 80s or you know, I think they would, it's still a solid piece of art.
Mm-hmm. It is. And what was Kona your second album?
Yeah.
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 That was young in your career too.
Yeah.
And but, I think that's, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, but we'd been playing those songs for fucking like 2 years before we recorded them.
Okay.
So that's why there's that argument that, which is pretty true, where that first like flagship album a band usually does, is it's hard to top that usually, because it's usually songs that they've been playing for years.
Yeah.
And then you've experienced some success and you got to make a new album. There's no way you're going to be playing those next songs for years.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's hard to do that later in your career.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like I said, like your second album, our first album, and you don't really have that fan base yet. So that album you use to grow your fan base, and you go out there and you tour your ass off on it for years and years, as long as you really can.
And it's a lot of people's first impression of you.
Exactly.
Which will stick around for fucking ever.
It sticks, you know, and then after that, then you've built your name, you've built your fan base, and now you kind of got your structure down, and now those people are expecting new music.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, we can tour off this for a year and a half or so now. Now we got to do new music.
Yeah.
And then you got to get in that cycle, you know, because...
And if everyone's decided they love you now too, now they love you and they're waiting for new music.
They're waiting for new music.
Better give me something that I want. Like, it becomes harder and harder to please.
You've entered the race, whether you like it or not.
Yep.
And especially this day and age, like we talked about earlier, with how easy it is to put out music. If you're not putting out new music and you're not putting out content on your social medias and you're not touring, someone else is.
Yeah.
And they're going to go listen to that new person. They're going to go to that new person's show and they're going to follow that new person on socials. And if you're just not doing that?
No, there's like just for instance, I like speaking on our band, it's like we're not big enough where we can drop off of social media. And like you take a band like, I don't know, for instance, like a Fall Out Boy or something.
Yeah.
They can just fire up their social medias when an album cycle is going to come around and be like, okay, we're coming back and it's all good. And their million people they have on their thing are waiting for it to, like, once something drops, okay, cool, I'm in.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, like you said, like, we got to stay persistent or else there's someone else that's going to. And that's maybe the double-edged sword of the reggae rock genre blowing up so big is there's a lot more competition, I guess.
There is. Because it's like we said, like we've been growing with this scene. And yes, like some of these bands in the scene, and you know, we've had some really great success.
Yeah.
But on the scheme of things, we still have so far to go.
Oh, totally.
We still have so far to go.
Totally. And that's the grand scheme of this whole genre is, I mean, like, for instance, you see a band like Atmosphere that comes and plays Cali Roots. Everyone loves him. I'm a huge Atmosphere fan myself, but he's big in kind of more of the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
He can play anywhere all over the world. He can go to do a headlining Europe tour and sell tons of tickets, and he can, you know what I mean? He's I think big beyond his scene, which is the work that I think this scene needs to do. Not even any pinpointing any bands per se, but just the scene in general needs to become bigger than.
Well, it's still
just
growing.
Popular within itself. Oh,
it's
100%.
So young. Yeah.
10 years ago was the first Cali Roots. 10 years is not that long ago.
Not at all.
So the fact that it's come this far is pretty cool. But like you said, we still have a lot of ways to go.
Because I always compare it to bringing it back to NOFX and that whole thing again. I think about them in the 90s and when like Green Day blew up and all that. And that whole, what would that be, the second wave of punk rock or the third wave of punk rock?
Third,
yeah.
I think.
So that made that third wave of punk rock go mainstream. And even like NOFX, Punk and Drublic went gold.
Yeah,
you know when they were when they weren't even trying to though.
One of my favorite punk rock albums of all time.
Absolutely, Linoleum is just the absolute classic of that era. But yeah, so it's like I always kind of think like because it seems like there's some parallels going on now with the reggae rock scene where it's like this little underground scene that
totally
now is selling more hard tickets to live shows than multi platinum acts. Around the it's funny is we just played on this last tour we just played the Rave in Milwaukee.
We've been there.
Scary. No, they actually redid. There's full production offices with with a sick window to the haunted pool. So they left the pool there.
They left the pool,
but it's full like showers, green rooms that you can look out to. But my point is, we played the big room, which holds like 3,000 people or whatever, 3,500 people. Downstairs in one of the smaller rooms, I think it was actually the room that we played in 2014 on the tour that we went on with that AER band. Was this guy that, I forget his name, JID or something like that, JID or something.
Oh, JID,
Yeah. And
yeah,
anyway,
he's dope.
Yeah, so everyone, all especially the younger guys like Catastro, we love him, East Coast or East Atlanta Playboy, like whatever, we love this guy. Yeah. And I'm like, I never even heard of this guy. And I look it up, and I look up his Instagram. He's got like 850,000 followers on his Instagram, which is so funny because I'm relating it back to selling more hard tickets than bands that are selling like, or not selling, but having 100 million streams.
Yeah.
It's funny that disconnect to me.
There's a big disconnect.
Yeah, where the big one too with me is my favorite all-time band, Ween. They have like 12,000 followers on their Instagram because all their fans are old, don't give a fuck about Instagram. Socials. But they'll sell 10,000 tickets. Like, they'll sell one ticket for almost every follower they have on Instagram. Imagine if JID did that. He'd be like bigger than the Beatles at Shea Stadium. Yeah. Like, so those disconnects trip me out, but I always just equate it back to, I think it's real young fans.
It's the young fans who are all on the socials and they're all on the up and coming artists, but they're not so involved that they're willing to go buy a ticket and go to the show.
Or they need to convince their parents to go buy them a ticket. Yeah. And so that's where that disconnect is. So it's just crazy. And that's
there's no instruments almost. Did he have a band?
No.
Just and that, DJ. I think that's another part of it. It's like hip-hop. It's hip hop. Like,
hip hop's tough live,
it's
man.
It's hard.
It's hard to be entertaining when it's just you and a DJ. Yeah. And if you can pull that off, you're the real deal.
Do you think even – and that atmosphere does
real
that
deal.
To the T. It's amazing. Yeah. Okay, do you think another layer of that is stand-up comedy? Because you don't even have a DJ.
I think that's even scarier,
I think that's
dude.
The gnarliest fucking form of entertainment.
We had a stand-up comic on like two shows ago, and we talked about the differences of how brave you have to fucking be to grab a mic and stand in front of a bunch of people and go, I'm going to make you all laugh
and
right
the,
now.
The like, fuckers like Andrew Dice Clay that were straight Madison Square Garden just like to entertain that many people with a fucking microphone, that's it.
No music.
And your wit.
No music.
And your wit. Like,
yeah.
And we talked about you can't go up there and play your hits. Like, hey, you all, I'm going to come here and play all these songs you love. It has to be fresh, new material
exactly.
or get at it.
Like, for us, like, oh, God, shit, man, we're not feeling tonight. Let's just play Dirty Hot Sex. Okay, they're pumped. Cool,
play
we're
the
out
bangers.
Here. Yeah. Like, everyone's sick. We can't just play the bangers. Okay, we're good. We're out of here.
Lay me down and dub it out for 20 minutes.
Totally. Fucking bring someone up from the crowd, have them sing it. Even the fans will do that shit. It's like, as a comedian.
Big up to stand-up comedians, man. Like, massive respect.
It's like if your album, it's like as soon as you release your album, you then have to erase it and write a new album. That other album's done. No one wants to hear it.
On stage, live.
Right. Every time.
Right. Every song you have to play to the crowd, they've never heard before.
Yeah. Every time. And win them over with that. Yeah. You know, when you've seen a band sometimes when you just want to hear the 10 hit singles and they're playing only the new shit and you're like, come on, guys. I'm here to sing along. I haven't heard, like, with a stand-up, it's only new shit.
And if they've heard your new shit, they might get bummed, too, because they're like, what, he's recycling, or if they hear the old shit, I'm sorry, they might get bummed, because they're like, he's recycling old jokes.
Oh, you can't even do it.
You can tell them.
Once you've released your Netflix special, those jokes are done. You cannot do those anymore. Whole new hour.
You can tell them their favorite joke they've ever heard, the reason they're a fan of you. They love this joke more than anything. They tell it to their friends, and you tell it on stage again, and they say, fucking you. You already said that fucking joke last time.
This joke's 10 years old, asshole. You'll get booed off the stage, dude. And there's another thing. People can just boo and just hijack your gig.
Yeah.
But if they boo your band or whether you're louder than them.
Yeah,
not
totally.
As a comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Every asshole in the crowd's in your ears.
Those are more character builders for us because I remember being on tour with Cottonmouth Kings and we got a couple, some drinks thrown at us. It was 2000.
Oh, yeah. They got those fans.
Juggalos, bro.
The Juggalo fans where it's like, they're only there to see their bands.
Yeah, 100%.
And if you are not their band, they're there to see, you're dead.
We did, picture this. We did, it was 2004. It was all suburban noise bands, like all like King Spade, all the bands. Yeah. And then us direct support for Cottonmouth Kings for 45 minutes.
Oh, so it's a slew of their people.
Oh, God. Yeah, and then us with like trunks and no shirts, like oh, pretty fresh no. from Hawaii, like 4 or 5 years, like removed from Hawaii and like... Yeah, I remember it was Ogden Theater. I remember getting two drinks whipped at like, whoa.
Like,
full leaning over. But
we did a couple shows. Luckily, it wasn't to that extreme.
Yeah, this was a full tour we did, too. Yeah. That's why. So
we did like a couple shows where I think it would just be like one person who luckily like we were friends with, like Big B would open
or something.
And then we would go on like right after and then, you know, Cottonmouth King would play or something. Yeah. And there was definitely like the people out there were like, get the fuck off the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, we had a. I think it was half and half, gotcha, so we were able to get through it. You know?
We would always win over the not full blown Cottonmouth King like Juggalo type fans. We'd win over like the guys that were just wearing like the skaters that
like
were just
the pothead
wearing,
guys. Yeah. I'm just a pothead. Yeah. I like this rap music.
Because I'm thankful for that tour because to this day I'll randomly see a kid with Cottonmouth Kings hat at our
totally.
Shows. You know what I mean? And yeah. I'm like, I know that motherfucker guaranteed somehow found out stems back to that tour.
No, he was there.
We
so
didn't win
then.
Them all over, but you know what? I think won a few over and
for
that's
sure.
all you're there for. Yeah. I mean, that's really freaking it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So what's next? Anything else cool coming up?
Yeah, just the record, which like I was saying, June 28th, that's going to be out. And then we're going back. There's two more legs of the tour, the Live from Paradise tour.
Oh, that's right. With Iration.
Yeah, so that's going to pick up on July 11th in Oklahoma. And then we're going to finish out the rest of the country through end of August pretty much. So, yeah, that and then the album and just... kind of getting the engine going, and you know how it is, the cycle's going to start. So
oh yeah,
we're going to be playing songs, playing the new album, and seeing where this amazing path that we embarked on in 1997 continues to take us.
It's not stopping. That's the thing is, you guys
are
staples in this
man, and
thing
I,
now.
And I respect the shit out of the process, man. I'm into it. I just been letting the music lead the way. I truly believe it's like all of us are just we're lucky enough to. That music visits us and we're able to transmit it for people, you know, it's pretty fucking mind blowing. And I don't think it'll ever soak in. I never will get it.
No, don't let it soak in. Yeah. Just keep being amazed.
I'm like,
it's funny when you try to let it soak in. Like, oh, I'm going to really think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it starts to sound absurd when I start thinking about it and start like bullet pointing in my head. I'm like, this sounds fucking crazy, but fuck man, it's awesome. So.
You have a show though too. I wanted you to plug. You have your own podcast.
Yeah,
you've been doing far longer than us.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that's kind of like respect the process and just let it lead the way. Mike Sutherland, who works for Sublime with Rome now and used to work for us for a while. He's been doing podcasts for years, and I was on his for a couple times, and he always would tell me, "Man, you got to do your own." I never really paid attention to it. Then 2 years later, he brought it up again, had a name and everything. He's like, hey, man, maybe you should name it Disposable Heroes because you're such a Lars fan, you know, because it's the track off Master Puppets.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I kind of started listening. And I was like, okay. So anyway, we ended up setting up the podcast. It's called Disposable Heroes. It's only about drummers, or I only have drummers on it, but it's not all about drumming. It's kind of more just conversational, you know, like this, just kind of getting behind the layers of the actual drummer that's on stage. You know, and not talking all about rudiments and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
And so just started it for fun, and I've had a shit ton of pinch me moments with that, man. I've had Adrian Young from No Doubt on it. I've had Josh from 21 Pilots. I've had Fish from Fishbone. I've had
That's awesome.
I got Smelly. I just did Smelly from NoFX. I did so. I mean, all these guys that I've literally grown up like idolizing, I end up talking to my podcast like, yeah, dude, we love your band. I'm just like, shut the fuck. Are you kidding me? But in turn, I like, it's amazing because I think it's indirectly made me a better drummer as well.
Nice.
Because just talking to all these drummers and just surrounding my like we were talking about earlier, who you surround yourself with, and being able to engulf myself in these 2-hour conversations with someone like Vinny from Less Than Jake that tells me all about signing Fall Out Boy and doing Filled with Ramen and all these things, and being able to, I guess, have an excuse to geek out on these people I've become friends with that are in other bands.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And not be punishing them.
Yeah.
In a sense. It's been so, it's just been so enlightening, I think, for me. And yeah, I'm it's really fun.
That's awesome. Disposable Heroes.
Yeah. Disposable Heroes. Look it up, wherever you listen to podcasts after you listen to this one.
That's right.
You.
Well, shit. Is that anything else?
I mean, we could keep going for 3 more days.
We could have him back.
We're already. Oh, hey, I'll come back anytime.
We're having back.
Anytime. Just let me know.
Yeah, we got to save shit. You're coming back next week.
Yeah, perfect.
As we start that music, will you bring me that brown paper bag that's in the fridge, please? There's a brown paper bag in that fridge in the top left corner. Will you bring me that?
We'll just keep tapping that music for a while. I'm sure Duddy's got some
things
to say.
Thanks again for stopping in, feeling good with Duddy. You sod. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you guys so much. Feeling better than good as I leave.
Oh, yeah. And I know that he probably worked up an appetite, so we brought him some more food.
That's right, dude.
Give that to him. Why don't you open that up? Why don't you tell him what we brought you?
Just in case.
Oh, I have an idea. Just by the feeling, it looks like some spam mushubi, boy.
Oh, shit.
All right. As we say in Hawaii, this broke the mouth, okay? Because it's so good, it breaks your mouth.
Oh.
All right. And remember, all you kooks out there, flip the shaka around. All right, dude. It's getting fucking embarrassing. You're just letting us know out there. All right.
You're the same person at the concert that's going, rock on! This means I love you, okay? This means I love you. And this means rock on. Okay, and so now that we know.
This means fuck you. This means fuck you in the 80s. Let's get our shit in order, everybody.
Oh, man. We could do a whole episode on the different middle fingers.
We really, really, really can. But yeah, feeling good with Duddy. Thanks for stopping by. And this summer, make sure you go to the Cutlass booth that will be at all the 311 and Dirty Head shows. Jake B will be there hanging out. Thank you. Keep playing that. And he can say what's up to you whenever you want. You go to the booth and you say what's up to him. He says what's up to you back. It's a pretty good situation. We're also going to be running the Feeling Good with Duddy podcast out of the back of the bus all summer, so you'll still be able to hear it. And go to CutlassBrand.com and get some new gear. And what, Mark? What? YouTube subscribe. God damn it, Mark.
God dang it. Why are you so sensible?
Go to our YouTube and give us 5 stars.
5-star ratings, 1-star rate. Just rate us, whatever. If you listen and it's 1 star, give it a star. We're not asking you to be liars. You know. What else, Mark? What else you got for us, Mark?
What else?
Yelp. Go to Yelp. Just kidding.
Yeah, go to Yelp. Yep, leave all your disappointments at Yelp. Rate us on Uber. All right, have a good evening, Duddy.
Next time you're hungry, order a Hawaiian pizza, and a true Hawaiian will scurf all the way to your house and just hand that thing to you.
Domino's.
Domino's.
Manapua!
This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself? Like you were hiding behind a mask? At work, in social settings, around your family? BetterHelp Online Therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self, so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.